Monday, April 11, 2016, Dakota County Board of Corrections meeting at 3:00 p.m. and Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3:02 p.m.
Call the meeting order, Board of Corrections, Tennessee pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a current copy of the open meeting act is posted on the near wall of the entrance of the boardroom back there for any citizens for review. Will you call roll, please?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony? Absent. Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to excuse Tony from the meeting today.
I'll second that.
Okay, I got a motion and a second. I'm excusing Commissioner Gomez. Call roll, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, number one is the consent agenda items, which we have approval of the previous minutes for March 14th, 2016. Anybody want to make a motion on that?
So move.
Okay, Dick? I'll second it. Call roll, please.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Okay, new business. Got the Jill report. Mark? I know Sheriff Kleinberg's on today, so Mark's going to give us the rundown here.
Just going to get a good copy?
Yep, I think so.
All right. March average daily population of county inmates was 89. Federal was 13. Juveniles was less than one. And total in-house was 102. For the calendar year 2016, we averaged 85 county inmates, 10 federal inmates, less than one juvenile, and 95 total in-house. And for the 2015-2016 fiscal, we averaged 87 inmates county, 8 federal, less than one juvenile, and 95 in-house. Our federal income for the month of March breaks down at $26,463.84 for the marshals, $2,080 for ICE, $325 for Omaha marshals, for a total for March for federal $28,868.84. Federal income for the fiscal year for marshals is $137,912.84. ICE, $9,750. Omaha Marshals, $2,015. With a total fiscal federal, $149,677.84. Our federal for the calendar year 2016 is $61,282.56. I've added a new section on here for out-of-county holds that we have contracts through. We had some from Burke County and Cedar County, I believe, this last month for $5,700. That was billed to them.
Good.
The cost per inmate per day for March was $48.90, down.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it that.
That's because our population's been so high. The higher our population,
the less the number.
Yeah. The jail spent $155,988.10 for the month of March. Jail's currently at 63% of the total estimated yearly budget, or 10% under budget for the fiscal year. Jail was at 76% of the total estimated yearly budget in March of 2015. And the jail spent $53,988.10 less than allotted for March, which is 25.5% under budget for the month. Bookings for March, it says February, but it was actually March. Dakota County Sheriff's arrested and transported 42 prisoners. South Sioux City arrested 59. State police arrested 4. We had 10 from county court, 15 from ICE, and 11 other, which is out of county marshals, etc., for a total of 141. Breakdown of the residency is 47 Dakota County residents, 25 residents from other areas in Nebraska, 47 from Sioux City, 15 from other Iowa areas, 7 from other states, and 0 homeless.
Perfect.
Mark, yeah. what do you do with your county, other county inmates? Do you include them in our county inmate count, or do you put them in the federal?
I count them in our, as the county.
So they're in this 89, they'd be included in there?
Correct.
Okay. Well, those are some good numbers.
They are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any questions, Rick? Anyone? And I've always said that jail's, it's a crapshoot, you know. I mean, it's good to toot your horn right now, that 76% and where you guys are saving money, but we know that can go to hell in a handbasket in a second. But it's,
one inmate could.
Right. Take it while it's there. I get it.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, it's a good report. So I appreciate you coming in, Chris.
Thank you,
Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, we'll move on to 3. Is there a correction committee reports? Any? If none, we'll go to mail emergency business. I don't believe there's any there. Any public comment on the Board of Corrections from anyone? If not, we will adjourn and we will move into the Board of Commissioners. Same scenario, there's a current copy of the Elbin Meeting Act back there on the corner of the wall back there for review of all attendance, citizens in attendance. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony? Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes. And I'd move to excuse Commissioner Gomez.
And I'll second that.
Okay, we got a motion in a second to excuse Tony from the Board of Commissioners. Will you call roll, please?
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Consent agenda items, approval of the previous minutes, March 28, 2016, approval of payroll claims, and approval of accounts payable claims. I went through them, and the payroll claims is all in order. I know, as you can tell, we have two payroll accounts payables. One is for $94,553 for the Morton building that we're getting put up. I think you're going to have a check in hand by tomorrow, right, Fred? Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so make sure that we'll have to get him a check so they can hand that off. I know it's not that easy, they understand it, but at least they started the job and they're going on it. I know they wanted the check a week ago and we told them they just have to wait, but at least we got it approved today. And then also for the grant. For the there was the $12,660 for the station.
It's the charge point station for the electric car.
Yep, for electric car, which obviously we'll be talking about that.
And I need to know what option you want to go with the electric car in order to complete that claim.
So that's why was I thinking that was on the agenda to talk
it
about?
Was
that
the consent agenda items before?
I remember seeing it somewhere.
We approved the grant, and
right.
We just need to know what option. Do we need to talk about the option right now?
It has to be. I have to know what to make the claim for.
Okay, so everybody has in their packet the few different options. I know Joan's done a lot of research and talking to these people. I think by looking at this, I like that 36-month lease. There's more money coming back towards us for the longer term, obviously. Correct, Joan? First of all, let me back up. If you look at it, it's a 2016 Leaf S, and then there's the 2016 Nissan SV.
Leaf SV.
They're both Nissans. Anyways, one has 84 miles of a 4-hour charging, and the other one has 107 miles. Okay, so if you guys look this over, that 36-month lease, that $11,844.48 one pay, and then the rebate of the $89.75, and then the buyout of the $10,240, which it comes to $51,059.48, and then net the grant, and then obviously that comes to $16,059, and then the rebate and the final cost is $7,084.48. So, like Joan said, if everybody's looked this over, I like that one there. I don't know what you guys have seen. You guys see something that I don't see. I think that one makes the most sense to go with.
The extra range? You don't like?
I don't think it's going to make a difference. Because
we're going to just use it within the county anyway.
Right, right. And I was hoping, and I know we don't qualify for it, but I was hoping that we'd get a gas backup one. That, you know, this right. is just strictly electric, where you could use it to go to Omaha or to Lincoln or to Kearney or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
You know, but
it isn't going to be made for that anyway.
No.
I want to go interstate.
So we just figured the difference between 84 and 107 miles, it ain't like we're right there at somewhere where we go on a regular basis. It'll make it to Norfolk.
Right.
You know?
It'll make it to Ponca.
It'll make it to Ponca back for
Bill.
Bill.
Yeah. It's a real leap. No, I think, I looked at it too. I think the 36-month lease makes more sense.
So how do we go about this, Joan? We've already approved it, so we just know which one you want to go after. Is that right? Or do we need to make a motion on that, on this in particular one, or what do we got to do here? I remember seeing it on the agenda one time.
It was in the consent agenda items originally. And the one you mailed out.
But I think just for the record, you'd want to make a motion on it.
Kim, any thoughts?
I wouldn't make a motion.
Make a motion.
Are you looking at this? Yes.
Yeah, okay. Same thing. Yeah.
I broke it out so that they could see the final cost and compare the final cost on the rebate versus the buyout versus the...
Okay, so what we need to do then, we need to add to the consent agenda items. We got the minutes, we got the payroll claims, and we got the accounts payable. We're going to go to those two. So then in additional to that, I guess we'll throw in... If it's okay,
it's part of the payroll.
Accounts payable.
I would make that motion to include the 36-month lease on the Model S lease.
Okay.
I got a comment before we approve all the consent agenda items. On that payment for that building, that is not a full payment, is it?
No,
we've already had one payment. This is the second payment, and there's a final payment coming due of like $15,000.
When it's complete.
That's what I wanted. I didn't want to pay them off and not have some recourse.
There's a final inspection and then a final payment.
Okay. Actually,
they do. You know, it's a Morton building. Right?
We made.
Yeah, they do good work.
There was a $47,276 payment. This payment is $94,553, and then the final payment is $15,759 for a total of $157,588.
Okay.
Okay. So there's the breakdown. So we got a motion by Billy.
I'll second that.
And then we got a second for the consent agenda items, adding on the 36-month lease on the Leaf S as a super sport.
One super sport.
We call roll, please.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go into new business here. We got Tiffany Paulson, the health director, requesting approval for the Dakota County Health Quarantine and Isolation Policy. And I welcome.
You have the old agenda.
Okay, so you guys probably
will. We have a 305 open sealed bids.
Oh, we do? I don't have the old one. I must have tossed that one. So can she go first? Then can we go? We got you up there. We won't go that. I don't have the other one. Why am I so unorganized here all of a sudden? What's going on?
Go ahead, Tim.
Okay. Yeah. So you have probably seen this before. It's been part of our emergency response plan for at least the last 10 years. It is straight out of state regulations. It's this little guy right there.
Okay.
It's verbatim right out of what the state gives us. And essentially it just says in what types of situations we're going to be able to isolate and quarantine people. A lot of it goes from me, if they're compliant, it's very easy because we just issue a couple things. They're compliant. We move on with our investigation and we're great. If they're not compliant, then I contact Kim and the county attorney's office has some wonderful things to help me with. But other than that, it's been in the plan for a long time. The state just now recommended that we do two separate approvals. So it got approved by the health board on the 30th, and now I'm here to hopefully get your approval.
I know that Nick kind of had it set in
Nick's
office.
Did all the stuff for figuring out the regs and everything for this particular policy, making sure that all the wording was correct and it was right out of the state policy, that we didn't modify anything and that it made sense and that was stuff that we could actually do and it was a good local policy for us to have.
I know it was a big book, and I know that I think last meeting I got a little bit criticized because I didn't go through the whole book, and I made the point that the delegation, that we know that if you're involved in it, it's going to be done properly.
Sure.
Okay, I remember that. If anybody doesn't remember that, I remember that. Okay, so anyways, I'm sure that everything's fine, and I'm just being honest with you. I haven't gone through the whole.
And this is one of the components that you'll find in the book, too, and it's been in the book for about 10 years.
Sure. I take criticism very well. I remember it. So anyways, I guess we need a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the Dakota County Health Department isolation policy. I second it.
Okay. We got a first and a second by Rick and Dick. Will you call roll, please?
Phil?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations, too. I see in the paper today something.
Yeah.
Congratulations. She's getting married.
Oh.
Okay, so my old agenda. Okay, Fred Kellogg, you get the honors. We had 305 open seal bill for contractor for grading contract roads at a per hour cost. Any and all bids may be rejected and bids need not be awarded at the time of opening and can be held over for future consideration. Everything else is in order.
How many did you get, Fred?
One.
Just one.
Yeah. It's from S. Jans Construction, Dakota City.
Yeah, surprisingly, we only got one because there was other guys that were grading for us on it.
Yeah, there's a couple others.
But this covers it.
This is a pretty long-term commitment, too. You know, I mean, from planting season to harvest time is kind of what we were thinking. So maybe,
mm-hmm.
you know, people didn't have the...
His hourly rate is $130.
That's pretty reasonable.
So I think what needs to happen is obviously we need to get with Joan, the budget committee, we need to sit down and do some figuring of what actually is going to make sense for us and how many miles exactly. I know at one time we kind of talked about maybe possibly 19, 20 miles we kind of had north of 35, east of 110, and around the city, Millis Beach, Attica. You know, that's kind of what we kind of talked about before we put this in the paper. And I think it came up to like 19.8 miles of
roughly 20 miles.
Yeah, roughly 20 miles, right.
Some miles that we have to drive quite a ways to service with our own wing. It just kind of made sense to... He's down in this area anyway. Or Larry, whoever bid on it would be down in this area, so...
I think Stan does... I think he does a nice job. I mean, obviously, he would have to be up to your standards, Fred. I mean, once we talk about this and go over things and make sure, put the pencil to it that it's kind of cash flow for us and, you know, free up more people, because you know, obviously we wanted to add some people to the road department to help with projects. I think this would be a good way.
think it'll be an inexpensive way, I think. But, and we've kind of brushed it around. And it all depends on Mother Nature. You know, how much the guy's going to be out there.
One thing about it, we can terminate any time if he's not doing a good enough job.
And if it ain't working for us financially, if it ain't working for you know us the way his work ability is.
And it gives us an option if we do have a natural disaster that, and we've got to pull our guys to do tree work,
right,
repair roads, that we could have someone out there to do maintenance.
Still do it.
I don't know.
No, I don't like disasters, but they happen.
Well, yeah. and maybe what we can do is like I said, get with Joan if somebody wants, if everybody's okay with it, we can turn it over to the road committee. We can, you know, make that decision if somebody wants to make that motion or whatever you guys want to do, however you want to do it. But I definitely think we need to sit down and kind of crunch the numbers first. I mean, totally crunch the numbers and kind of figure out. Like I said, we don't know the time he'll be out there just because of the fact of the weather. You know,
if he starts in May, he probably wouldn't have. We wouldn't have any expense to the county until our next fiscal year anyway.
Yeah.
It'd probably be after July 1st. But I think maybe we should send it to the road committee and the budget committee to look at it and get together with Joan.
You want a contract on the next agenda, or do you want to wait?
Oh, I think we'll be ready by then.
Yeah, I would think so.
Let's review it and talk about it. Rick's on the budget committee. You and I, we can all get together. See if we can afford it, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess the big thing is we just got to figure out the time, the hours. Like I said,
yeah,
it's all weather related. You know that as well, yeah, as I do. I mean, obviously, if it's going to get dry out, ain't going to need it much. You know, if it's going to be wet every other two or three days, you know, there's going to be some time involved.
And he's got to understand, too, if he has other jobs and we need roads bladed, he's going to have to get there and blade them.
I think he likes the commitment. I've kind of talked to Stan about it a little bit, you know.
Good.
I mean, he likes the six-month commitment of it.
Okay.
So I think he'll be there.
Did you make the motion?
Yeah, that's a motion.
I'll second that.
Okay. We got a motion from Bill and then a second from Dick to let the road committee and the finance committee review it. And then, so we will have to put it on the next agenda. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Call roll, please, John.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to C. Oh, hang on a second. We need to move on to B here now, I guess. Approve the amending of the Dakota County health insurance to allow the routine. What's going on?
That'd be C.
Yeah, we got to move down the line.
Okay, it's C.
Approve amending the Dakota County health insurance to allow routine colonoscopy exams.
Tom, what are you doing to me here today? Thank you.
You changed my agenda Friday afternoon.
I did it to you. Okay, so anyways, let's, the county health insurance, the routine, the colon exam. Okay, so we want to amend that. And I know we kind of talked about that last time around, and we got the. I know when Amy Kleinberg was here, she gave us several different options. And I know that we've kind of all kind of talked about it via email and telephone. So I know we were kind of leaning towards the copay. Is that correct?
I would move to go with option two, the $25 copay. The same as the other wellness benefits.
Okay, we got a motion.
I'll second that.
We got a second by Rick to go with option two with the copay with the other wellness benefits. Will you call roll, please?
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, we're on D, right? D, Vern Fisher. Dr. Vern Fisher, Superintendent, South City Schools, to present information to the board regarding the South Sioux City School bond issue on the primary ballot.
On behalf of our school district and the school board, we wish to say thank you for allowing us this opportunity to present to you Our primary goal is really to share information with our other governing friends. We've been before the South Sioux City City Council also. So, and the information I am presenting, there's a lot there. I'm beginning to dream about this presentation and present so many different times. So if I go through it quickly and I haven't covered something well, please don't hesitate to stop me and say, Vern, can you go back over that? Also, I've given you a hard copy of the very same information that gives you some bullet points around each of the propositions and the projects that are impacted by it. These are the buildings, obviously, in our school district, and what I'm extremely proud of is that we didn't jump into one project or shiny object. We spent our time the last 2.5 years conducting a comprehensive facility study on each building in our school district, really looking at what were the deficiencies that existed in each of those facilities, identify solutions that would address those deficiencies, but also look at what would be a reasonable plan to bring to the community in the end. And as we look at the work that has been done over the last 2.5 years, I think we've done both of those things. One has done a nice job of looking at our facilities, but also bringing a reasonable plan to our community for considerations. The school board passed a resolution on February 22nd to hold a bond election on May 10th, 2016, and it's divided into two different propositions. Proposition A is for $27,960,000. And a summary of what would be impacted by that proposition is the enhancement of several existing facilities, but also build a new fifth, sixth grade facility that would be that would emphasize STEAM, which is science, technology, engineering, art, and math. Proposition B is for $10,455,000 to rebuild Ian Sweat. Right now, Ian Sweat holds our early childhood program. That's a four-year-old program for our students in the community. Proposition B is dependent upon Proposition A. So the way we structured that is that Proposition A is the driver of the resolution. If it passes, Proposition A would move forward. But B would also need to pass in combination with Proposition A for the full thing to move forward with 50% plus one of the vote. Proposition B cannot pass on its own and move forward. So I sound like a broken record there, but Proposition A is the driver of the resolution. And the question about why really has been addressed throughout the course of the facility study, but what it comes down to is a combination of things. One, a strong partnership with the county and the city for the development of a road that will move our county forward and look into the future. The second is that there has been a desire for quite some time, even before I arrived here, for workforce development and career education and emphasizing that. But also we're a growing school district, and we're one of the few school districts that can lay claim to that fact, is that we continue to grow and have more kids in our community. So we're trying to address all of those different things within this respective or this particular resolution. The history behind it, I won't go into all of this, but we did conduct a three-phased process. The first phase really looked at the facility condition in each of our buildings. So we looked at everything from building code and ADA compliance to technology and security, really looking at where we were strong and where there were some deficiencies. And to be quite fair, that fourth bullet, equipment and systems assessment, was a glaring area of weakness for us as we conducted the assessment the last couple of years. Then we looked at the programs that we have and the programs that we want for the future to ensure that our kids are leaving the high school, college, and career ready. So we looked at everything from technology integration to the kind of lab space that we have, program space and security, supervision, and safety. And then finally came to the development of a master plan that plays out in the way that we design the resolution. We summarized needs, we developed multiple options, we looked at different cost estimates, and we surveyed the community. What's really important on this slide is if you wish to go in and look at all the work that was done in the study itself, if you go to our district website and look under resources, you're going to see the facility condition assessment, the program compatibility assessment, and the master planning document. And that facility condition assessment was there was a lot of information. It was overwhelming at times, but it showed that there was a need to address some things, but we also realized we needed to bring something that was more reasonable to the community for consideration. The second piece of information I want to point to is the survey of the community. That happened several different ways. The first is that we conducted an online survey. So we sent through email a survey to a random sample of our community and asked a variety of questions to measure level of support. Then we also conducted a phone survey, did the same kind of thing, random selection. It was done by an outside company. And both of those surveys said that there was overwhelming support for moving forward with the resolution, and there was overwhelming support for each of the projects that were identified in the final plan. What was interesting is the consultant who helped us with the survey said she hasn't seen numbers like that for a very long time. So in terms of degree of support, we felt confident that we had identified the right projects and focused on the right things. The last thing we did is we held a community forum. So we invited a cross-section of the community for an evening, and we divided them into small groups to answer questions about what we found with the survey. So there was representation from business, industry, parents, Dakota City, South Sioux City, and we spent roughly an hour and a half talking about the results of the survey. And it came back again. We were on target, folks. There was overwhelming support with moving forward with the project. The only question that we were asked is was it reasonable to move from February 22nd to May 10th and have enough time to communicate? And what we learned in our research is that if you ask folks to donate time to help, it's better for a short period of time than a long period of time. So we emphasized that if folks were going to volunteer to help in any shape or fashion, we would do it over a short period of time. But the results were very, very positive, and the comment about we're tired of talking about, let's move forward, was voiced quite frequently. The vision is really to alleviate crowded conditions, prepare kids for future careers. That third bullet is on our early learners, our four-year-olds, and to ensure students have quality facilities that promote and support quality programs. Rough sketch of the map, the two main questions that I'm asked is the location of the Career Center and the location of the 5th, 6th building. And if you find number one on the left there, that's where the Career Center would be located. It's the old Boys and Girls Home. In fact, at one point, for those of you who've been here longer than I have, that was an old roller rink. So this building has seen a lot of life over its time and served a variety of different needs. We're going to focus on workforce development and promoting back to the county of Dakota County. The second is where the 5th, 6th building would be located. This is 39th Street moving towards the river, and this is Bennett. So if you can think of 39th Street going east towards the river, you run into a dirt row and a row of houses, that's Bennett Avenue. And folks have asked us why that location, and there were really three primary reasons. One is the development of Veterans Way from the north side of the city to the east side or south side of the city, which would land at this corner. The second is that when you look at most of the population of our students, it's east of Dakota Avenue in the trailer park here in Dakota City. And then I had that third reason that left my mind when I went to say it.
Welcome to my world.
Well, I changed the agenda. There's so much pressure on G Street now that to build anything on G Street would be on the verge of asinine. And we needed to help take pressure off of G Street for future growth and development. The only land that we own right now is on 17th and G Street. It doesn't make sense to have a 5th, 6th building there. So we have an option on the 40 acres of land that's owned by Dean Orla King at this point in time. You see the other facilities that are impacted by this bond. It isn't each of the buildings in our school district, but there are several here, including the elementary in Dakota City. There were several challenges that we identified, and then we focused on solutions to address those challenges. And I will say that when I interviewed here 6 years ago, this was one of the main questions asked of me, and it continued to be a point of conversation over the 6 years, which is workforce development and having students leave school with the skills to be successful in college and career. And the fact is that kids leaving high school, about 97% of them will require some form of post-college high school experience, whether that's a trade school, whether that's a two-year institution or a four-year school. But there are also students who won't attend one of those institutions that need additional skills to be successful, not only in the workforce, but contribute back to the community at large. So we have focused on career development. We have 10 career pathways now. We will add 4 pathways in the future, but it's really driving at preparing our kids for life after high school, both from a career and collegiate perspective. There are 2 ways that we will address that. One is through the Career Center that I just mentioned on Futures Drive, and then the second is we'll extend the CTEC area on the west side of the high school. So if you've been in our facility, you know that we have a welding program, drafting program, construction program, but the space is limited, and it prevents us from doing some things that we need to do to add on the skills that I'm talking about. And I'll show you an example here shortly. The graph on the left is the extension of the high school. So if you can think of the sidewalk that moves along the soccer complex, we would move that out and build that roof. And then the rectangular building is the current Boys and Girls Home off of Futures Drive. And I know you know where it's at. It rests right in. This is a medical plaza that runs off the 77 bypass, and then Great West Casualty is just north of this particular facility. But what would it allow us to do? First of all, this is a drawing that was done by our students. So we asked them, if you had Utopia, what might that space look like? And they've created more lab space so we can address projects like that. I'll come back to that in a second. But you see what the classroom space might look like.
That would be onto the high school.
That would be onto the high school. Thank you, Scott.
Yep.
So you see we have welders there, and I will tell you we have exceptional welders. We have exceptional instructors. We just don't put out the numbers that we would like to help serve back to the community, or if kids want to go to onto Northeast Community College. You see the drafting program, but also our construction program. And I would love if you came by to visit. This is in that small area that I was alluding to. Basically, I refer to this as Vern's doghouse. So when I get into trouble, that's where my wife sends me, and I'm okay. Our kids built that from scratch. So they framed it, they drywalled it, they've wired it with electricity, they wired it with surround sound. There's a kitchen in there, there's a bathroom in there, so they've plumbed it. They've sided it, and they've also roofed it. The deal is, though, that if you look right behind it is a little door. Well, this building will never get outside of this facility, so the kids will dismantle that and then repurpose the material, which is a good skill. But part of the skill is we want to develop the whole house. We want to build the whole house. A model that we've taken that from is in Sioux Falls, is in Lincoln, and is Sioux Falls and Lincoln, that basically has an airplane hangar where you can move the, you can build a building, and then you can remove the building, and then you can sell it to the community. So we're contributing back to the health of the community in this way.
Sounds a little more like a man cave than a doghouse.
Yeah. I could stay there for quite some time. But you see where we're trying to go with that particular area. The Career Center on Futures Drive, this is what we presented to the planning committee. This is what the kids drew. So you see the talent that exists within our kids now. What they see the space looking like. But right now we've identified health sciences, information technology, arts, AV, tech, and communication with space for a future career path. So there's other possibilities that exist in this particular site. Obviously, once an architect gets in there, then we'll design it to meet those program needs. But it gives you a visual of what it looks like. We've gutted the inside of that facility now. There was a community coffee there about 2 years ago, and we walked that facility. It was about 140 miniature bedrooms that was inside that building. Really kind of flimsy walls. We've gutted that whole thing, and it's gone. So when you think of college and career readiness, we're really looking at it from a three-banged approach. One is we would have a career center. The other is continue and strengthen what we're doing at the high school, but also our strong partnership with Northeast Community College in Wayne State. So we're giving our kids a lot of options that other communities wouldn't have. We also need to look at crowded conditions. And I do have some of the capacity and numbers on that document that I gave you, but everything from steady growth in enrollment to the new residential area, the Ho-Chunk on the northeast corner of town, and whatever future growth occurs as a result of that. And our solution is we'll build a brand new 5-6 building. That's going to be a larger building, so we're around 750 kids that we're planning for in terms of growth. We hover around 300 kids per grade level. We're planning for 345, so it gives us some room. We'll take pressure off of Harney, Cardinal, Covington, and the secondary campus, and that building will emphasize STEAM programs, so science, technology, engineering, art, and math. We already have engineering as one example in our elementary buildings right now, and we do some of that work through robotics, and Lance Health's lead that. We would add classroom space at Harney and Cardinal, and then also we would modernize the facility here in Dakota City. So you've been in the gymnasium. There's some work that needs to be done there, especially in the area of ADA compliance, and we need more room in our cafeteria commons area to have more kids in that respective building. These aren't etched in stone. These are what it could look like on those different sites. So this is that fifth, sixth building on the corner of 39th and Bennett. So that's how it may lay out. But one of the things that we really worked hard on is not only the program space, but also traffic flow. So if you've been around Cardinal, Covington, Harney, it doesn't happen so much in Dakota City because they have more relief points, but you still see traffic flow as an issue. So we try to address that as we thought long term. These are the renovation work and additions at the three elementaries that I spoke to. And then early childhood, there's a misnomer about early childhood. We have a four-year-old program now. It's a half-day program, but we're also getting pressure to have a full-day program and serve more kids. And the feedback came through the survey really reflected this fact. The number one, the highest percentage of responders to the survey were our age bracket, that 45 to 60 age group. They strongly supported college and career. Although they supported everything else, there was a correlation to that number. The lowest percentage of respondents to the survey were those who were first-time parents, but they strongly supported early childhood. So it was interesting to see that where you are in your life was where your point of interest was, but they were all extremely high in terms of level support for the projects that we serve. So we're looking at tearing down Ian Sweat and rebuilding it at that site to serve four-year-old programs. This is on the early, this is on the Ian Sweat site. Those of you who've been here longer than I have, remember this used to be a football field. We did a couple of things. One is we tried to address traffic flow on C Street as well. And we were asked, why wouldn't you leave the building there and rebuild? We wanted to stay away. There's a railroad that runs east and west here between Foundry and the Early Childhood Center. And this road gives us some relief off of the facility side there. So
this road here is gravel right now.
Yes, that's exactly right. This is one day near spot at the beginning and at the end of the first session and at the beginning at the end of the second session. And this is a regurgitation of information I just gave you, which is we really wanted to ensure they had quality facilities that promote quality programs. So you see how we went, what we went after, and also how we addressed those programs. One thing that one thing I want to emphasize is that not only did we look at what the community wanted, what business and industry wanted, what parents wanted, but we also aligned this to the state accountability model. So everything that you see is well aligned to what we're asked to address as a school system in the state education accountability model. This is how the plan might roll out, a timeline for improvement. So you see that the projection for completion on that 5-6 building would be 2018. And the Early Childhood Center would be 2020, with renovation work and additions occurring in between there. Cost estimate, our cost sheet, this is how we arrived at the different costs, and you have access to this information on our website. But here's really what it gets down to, and this is the tax levy increase per 100 for the $27 million bond, and if they both pass, you see what that tax levy increase, but here's what it really boils down to. If Proposition A would pass, that's assessed value, our home assessed at $100,000, you see the tax increase per year. We also provided that for $150,000 and $200,000. So that's an additional tax increase for the homeowner. this is what it looks like per month, and this is what it looks like per day. So bringing something of reasonableness to the community, we felt like we've achieved under Proposition A. We also feel the same under Proposition B, but the tax increase would go up slightly. So when you look at a home assessed at $100,000, that would be the increase in taxes per year. This is what it looks like per month, and this is what it looks like per day. If you want more information, please go to our website. On the front page, it says it in bold letters, bond issue, and right underneath that it says frequently asked questions. Click on that tab, and every question we've been asked to date is on there with our answers to it. And if you go to the resource section, you can pull up information that was conducted on the facility study as well. You can also, on the right-hand corner of our website, it's called Let's Talk. It's a tab that any member of our community can click on. It can request a certain individual and ask questions, and I can respond to you 2 minutes after I get that question, or Todd will, or Lance can as well. The only requirement is that you get what I'm saying. You have to leave a phone number or an email address. We can't respond if it's done in an anonymous fashion. The one thing that I can legally say is please vote on May 10th. So I went through a lot of that information as quick as I could, and hope I covered it the way I needed to.
I think you're doing a nice job.
Vernon, the question I got for you is, what are your projections for how long will this renovation, will it take care of the population? Will it take care of us for 10 years, 5 years?
Well, that's a really good question. I mentioned that we average about 300 per grade level now. We have a couple bubbles that are going through that have 250 kids.
We're going to go to 345.
Yeah, but we plan for 345. So that's going to help us a little bit. But the key is really, I'll just throw up the rough map that we have here, is how quickly Ho-Chunk develops in this area down here. So those are $250,000, $500,000 homes that are going up down there. But also we know that if we build that this building here, the 5th, 6th building, there's going to be residential growth around that as well. So we know that we grow between 1.5% and 2% a year. I just don't know how quickly we'll grow given the new home development. But right now we're planning an addition of 45 kids per grade level. That's going to take us some time before we get there. Does that answer your question?
Yep. The one question that came up at Homer's Bond, and I went to several meetings, and it came up over and over again, seemed to be a big issue with our people that oppose the bond, is our numbers of open enrollment. Hmm. And whether it was costing Homer or break even or we were making money, but turns out, I think it was about a break even what the state paid and what we were, our average student cost was. Some people had it in their head it was costing Homer $5,000 a student, and that's not correct. And we do have a lot of open enrollment kids in Homer. I don't know, do you have that big population also?
We do have some open enrollment. What we're finding out are option enrollment. And option enrollment is defined by statute. So there are some things that kids and families can do and schools can do. Homer is dependent upon option enrollment, which is a different feel for us. We do have kids coming in, but it's usually around programming, similar to what I presented
okay,
here.
Sure.
So
that makes sense.
We do have some kids coming in. We have policy in place that looks at the number of kids per grade level, the capacity that's available, and then we operate around a policy.
True. That makes sense.
Now, the issue in Sergeant Bluff is a little bit different. It's aligned in the same or similar fashion, but we heard that same thing there.
Okay.
I talked to them down in Sergeant Bluff. This year, they're going to have 119 kids graduating and 105 kids is open enrolled.
Oh. Yeah. We're not like that.
No, I know. That's what Sergeant Bluff is.
Yeah. So, we were speaking before about the Homer bond issue, and I heard enough of the Sergeant Bluff stuff. I think it's really important that we don't. There's some similarities, but the communities are so different.
They are right.
How we approach the bond was so much different. In Homer, the percentage of our ag is extremely high. For us, our percentage of land that is connected to this is less than 5%. So that's
going to help you,
yeah,
considerably.
But that's also why you hear us talk a lot about state aid. We're heavily dependent upon that state contribution because of the low percentage of our budget that comes from property tax.
Right.
Okay.
Well, wish you luck.
Thank you. If you do have a question, don't hesitate to call. If something comes up you want to talk more about, please holler at me. This has been, as I said, I think I'm dreaming about this now. And I also want to thank Scott. Scott shared some kind words at the annual joint meeting. I want you to know that meant a lot to me personally, and we do care about our kids. So.
Yep. And you showed that without a doubt. Well, listen, any questions for Vern? Anything else? Thank you, Vern.
Thank you.
I appreciate
Vern.
It.
Thank you.
Good luck, huh? May 10th. Vern, May 10th.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Lance. Okay, we're going to move on here to E, approved, amended, and reinstated interlocal agreement with the Dakota County Public Safety Service Agency .org, a governing body with members. I know how he's going to say that. That's a lot. From the Dakota City, the City of Dakota City, the Village of Emerson, the Village of Homer, County of Dakota. The Dakota County Rural Fire Protection District, Homer Rural Fire Protection District, Emerson Rural Fire Protection District, created to provide. Basically, what's happening here is we just got a whole new setup with the interlocal agreement. We got everything in order now. I think the monies, we got bonded. Matter of fact, we met with bond council last week, this agency did, and everything is moving forward really nicely. I think they were looking at 3.8. I wanted to have Clint here today because he's kind of our secretary and he's running all the numbers. But everything is everything's going well, and I just think that I think by this spring they want to get a shovel in the ground for Dakota City, right? Matter of fact, there was a few of the architects that were there. I should say M Plus was there. They're doing two. I think they're doing Emerson and they're doing Dakota City, and I asked them if they could get us all for our next meeting. They couldn't do it this meeting, but for our next meeting, to get us all a draft of what is taking place at each entity, I guess, what each one's doing. Yeah. So then we can look at it so we can see exactly what Emerson's doing, what Homer has on their agenda, and Dakota City, and et cetera. So, yeah, so hopefully by the time, maybe next meeting, I can have Clint or Deanna here because she's kind of does... she's the director, I guess, and then she can maybe show us and explain to us, and we can have all that. So basically, it's just it's being amended here, and anything else I need to add to this, Joan?
It's pretty cut and dry, I think.
You know, they're all very conscientious about what they're spending, too. So.
Yeah, I think they have been. I know Homer is.
Yeah, Homer definitely. They were, like, really behind the eight ball for a long time. And everybody else was pretty gung-ho. But I guess...
Anything to jump out at you, Kim, for the amendment? What changed besides adding a percent of allocation per facility? No? Okay.
And they've got it nicely kind of underlined it right down to the amount of amendments.
What took a few? I mean, minutes.
It's a lot of amendments, yeah.
But they thought it was a good idea when I did tell them. I said, hey, just give the county commissioners kind of an idea of what's going on to keep us updated. I mean, I can sit there and tell you everything's going well, and we finally got the bond council after a year. You know, and got everything. I mean, it's taken a lot of time, and a lot of great questions and a lot of dumb questions. But overall, it's the wheels are moving well. So, anyways, I guess with this new amended interlocal agreement, I guess. Kim's got her blessing on it. Everything looks fine. Just need a motion and we'll move on.
So move.
Second.
Rick and Bill, call roll, please.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on to miscellaneous. Fred Kellogg, Highway Superintendent, Road Report.
March 27th to April 9th, 237 total hours of road maintenance. Tree and debris removal, 50 hours. Aggregate, 2,700 ton. Sign installation, 14 and a half hours, 13 signs. Barricading, 4 hours, three barricades. Road concerns, we're grading 164th M Avenue, Ellis Drive, and 220th Street.
I honestly don't know where Ellis Drive is.
I was just going to ask that question.
Mills Beach.
Mills Beach.
Oh,
all right.
I've never heard that.
That's where it's at.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it looks good. I think roads are actually
shaping up a lot better than I thought they were going to do this spring. The way it's going. You saw spots here and there.
Yeah, you're bound to have that every year.
And then, unfortunately, that wind is always, I guess, in a situation, it always, as much as we hate it, but it helps to dry things out.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to slow down, maybe. But we're supposed to get the nice weather. I think this is the last cold night, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to warm up towards the end of the week.
Yeah. I think I've seen 40s and 50s at night, so it's a good thing.
Husker spring game Saturday.
Is it?
7-6, yeah. Of course I am.
Perfect. Should be windy then, anyway.
Yeah.
No wonder my son's not coming home, right?
Thanks, Fred.
Yeah, thank you, Fred. Okay, we're going to go to B here. We're going to approve chair to sign the letter of agreement to pay the city of South Sioux City for Veterans Drive by July 1 of 2016 of the sum of $815,000. So, Joan, I've talked to Bruce Davis. And, you know, of course, originally, if you all remember, they said that they had to bond for us to get the deferred assessment. Okay, do you remember them selling that pitch to us, correct? Right? Does everybody remember that?
I remember it, yeah.
Okay. And so now I guess that's not the case. We don't need, they don't need to bond for us. But they will bond for us and carry us at 2% for 10 years on this money. Because that's kind of what I heard what they're doing for the school system when I talked to Bruce. Joan finally got a hold of John Trasick, and he said that's a great rate, but obviously it's 10 years. It's pretty short. The rate that he gave us on I'm assuming a 20-year, Joan, was 2.6 to 3 on a 20-year. So I don't know. And I didn't have a chance to pull that up today, and I think Joan wanted to talk to him to figure out if we, you know, is 10 with him, if we did it, can we get it less expensive, or is it still 2? We got to look at, can we cash flow it, because there's 2 payments. Obviously, there's an interest payment in January, an interest and principal payment in July. So, and I don't know how to figure that on a computer. I just figured it'd be a simple amortization, but when you have 2 different lump sum payments, one interest, and the next one interest and principal.
Hey, can we carry the 10-year with the city of South Sioux at 2% and then go refinance at the end of the 10 years, roll it over into something else, and what interest we're going to be at there? Is that an option?
It wouldn't be ours.
It wouldn't be ours?
No. We would just be making payments to South Sioux like we did 48th Street. They would take... It would totally be their project.
So,
well, I know we're on the hook for $850,000.
One way or the other. Now, just like Joan and I was talking, I was like, you know, we can't predict from year to year monies, you know, because, I mean, it can change drastically. But, and obviously we set our budget, and we meet several times with department heads and elected officials and et cetera. But anyways,
I guess it's just basically, if we do a 10-year 2%, it's just going to take away from something else. And we know that, because we've talked about this.
Well, that's where I was headed with my next deal, is I don't know that 10 years will work for us.
I'm guessing that that's going to be about $112,000, $113,000 payment a year.
A year. That could shorten us up on other areas that we need to use money at. So I think we need to go the 20-year, give ourselves some room, and if we have, you know, with Emeritus, with John Tresec, you can always pay off early if you've got extra money. So, you know.
Or refinance it, or
right, and
save some
interest. I think what we need to do, and obviously we have time, and I know we have another meeting here coming up on the 25th, and obviously, you know, I got a saying, I'm not going to say it, but wish in one hand, and if they want to buy the first, you know, if it's going to be later than the first, but let's look at the 20-year and the 10-year, and right. Let's just see where we're at, you know, interest-wise. And I agree with you guys, you know. You can always pay it off early, and if you got to refinance or whatever. But I don't have the answers right now, and I don't think, John, we didn't get it back with him today, but let's...
Well, I'm just kind of looking at, you know, the whole picture of the thing. Land values are starting to come down, and you're dependent on ag values on your tax askings. If corn and all the projections show that corn's going to be under $3, things are going to come down.
I know
you can't buy land at that.
But I know with Jeff, you know, we were talking, you know, maybe the commercial. I know we've been under commercialized on taxes for a long time, and I don't think that's going to offset anything. Remember, we were kind of wishful thinking that it was going to offset the ag value, and it ain't looking that way, is it?
No. All the growth we had anticipated this year just got tipped. So we lost probably $12 million.
Gee.
With the swipe of a pen. So
we are some dumb.
So we're actually going to lose, I think, a little bit now. What it's looking like. We'll see next year, though.
And you're going to battle that TIF. You're going to battle that TIF every year when you got growth flakes going around here.
There's two more that are approved, but the shovel hasn't hit the ground, so they're not going to do anything.
0.6
ain't going to hurt. They grabbed Richardson and I think K&B and Cielvis Energy, because that's where we picked up $12 million. So those TIFs were waiting. Thanks, Scott. You're in one of them. I think you're TIF now, too.
Yeah, I'm blighted.
Yeah?
Ghetto.
I'm in the ghetto.
Yeah.
So that really means commercials.
Oh. Man, oh, man.
Well, that's kind of what I take.
Blighted in substandard is what it says.
Yeah, right. Right. That's what I mean. I mean, it's ghetto.
You know, there's some of those blighted areas I've kind of looked at, and there's new homes setting on them, and I just can't. You know, a new business is sitting there, and I just can't.
You know, listen, when I went to the city, when they were talking about blighting or tipping that area out there, and, of course, the first thing they asked me, is this county or is this personal business? This is personal. This comes with my business. You know, I have no gas. I have no this. I have no, you know, I don't have no amenities. I have no gas or city sewer. We'll take a look at it. We'll see if we can help you out. Well, of course, it's not new construction. You know, they told me what I wanted to hear until I left, and then until I came back, and then all of a sudden, well, it's not new construction. There's always a catch-22, but whatever. Okay.
So it's like the $850,000, and we thought Bennett Avenue was going to be paved. Is that part of it? And now they're going to skirt to the west of Bennett Avenue?
Yeah, I know it. It seems like you can never get a step up on it.
I went down and checked it out.
Can you?
What was the guy's name?
If they're gonna pave a street, and they're gonna have it annexed into the city, that street,
right?
They need Bennett Avenue too. I think it needs to be just. You want the 850 by July,
right?
Okay, so where do we stand? What should we do? Let's get with John Tresec and we'll figure.
I think we need to. I think we need to get with John and go over what he's got and what his best rate is.
Okay. Yeah, let's keep that. So we'll just, we're not going to act anything on today, so we'll just, do we need to table that, or we, what do we need to do?
Just move it to the next agenda.
We'll just move it to the next agenda. All right, so let's, on miscellaneous B, let's move it to the next agenda after we talk to John, bond council, and figure out where we're at.
Good deal.
We're going to see, we're going to go to approve a letter of support to NERMA requesting insurance coverage for Dakota County Public Safety Service Agency.org. For, we're having a hard time finding insurance as of right now, and they claim once you get your monies in place, it makes it easier, and we just got it into place. But we know that NERMA insures 81 or 82 counties in the state of Nebraska, and the only other type of entity that they insure is like the area aging of aging.
Area agency.
So, and of course that's formed by obviously board members. So of course Joan wrote a letter, and they got to meet on the end of May, NERMA, with their board of directors, and that's going to be on one of their topics to talk about, to see if they will be able to insure, throw a blanket where this agency, the public safety agency, will pay the difference back to the county if they will insure it. I think that's kind of what they looked at. Right? We don't know.
It would be totally independent.
It would be independent.
Yeah. You have to do it on your own. That's your whole problem.
I just thought that, I thought they were all talking like maybe if it was done through Dakota County, no, that it would be like a blanket with them on it with Dakota County, and they would pay the difference. But I don't know, I guess they'll tell us what's on their mind, I guess.
My understanding is it's separate, but I don't have any information.
Okay, I don't either. But that's I just remember somebody talking about it that way, and I'm like, okay, whatever. First of all, I guess so. Anyways, let's get a support letter because, like I said, they meet like I think May 23rd or May 24th or something. So I guess we just need approval to send a support letter to NERMA.
Yeah, I would need to send a support letter. If there are costs involved, we'll have to cover that.
It's my understanding that it's totally separate, that this agency is totally separate.
Okay. It is separate, but I just kind of threw out there that they disregard the blanket thing.
They're asking NERMA if they would consider
insuring us.
Assuring. It would be like adding, you know, like they added Area Agency on Aging. Now they would add this Public Service Safety Agency.
Write a letter of support, like Bill said, and I'll second Bill's motion.
Why did the other insurance companies not want to do it? What was their hang up?
Well, just because, like I said, we just finally got our monies into place, and it's kind of a motion, I guess. It's like a will where if we're going to them and saying, hey, yeah, we're looking to bond this much money, well, I think they kind of take it off how much money that you're bonding for. So they were kind of waiting for the bond to get into place, or the monies, I should say, of how much money we're actually going to, you know, bond council. So, and they're still looking. And I think the way Mike Schmidt said is as the motion keeps rolling, it'll give insurance companies more to look at for them to be able to insure us.
I think it'd be in our best interest to have them insured with NERMA, or same insurance company, simply because it'd be not under a blanket. But
right.
Simplify it.
And I apologize for saying the
blanket. You don't think it would be a high risk for NERMA? Is what you're saying? You think
initially, until we get down the road a few years, nobody's going to want them, probably.
You know, and Craig Nelson's reply was, we have to evaluate how this is going to affect all the other counties. You know, we don't want to add a high risk that's going to hurt the other counties. So I don't.
Inevitably, we're responsible. It's all going to come back to us, regardless. I'm sure, as a county.
I don't know if it would or not. If it's its own entity, I don't know. I ain't kidding you. Probably 3 months ago, they made it sound like it was a slam dunk. I talked to Mill Shilham or Pitts over there. It's like, oh, we got a lot of different agencies that we can go after, insurance companies. And then all of a sudden, it just came to a halt. So
I think if NERMA do it, it'd be better for the county.
Is the city like like with Rasmussen, is he insured? Is he covered through the City of Dakota City? I wonder on that. Do you think? They all made it sound like none of them were insured. I was the only one in Deanna, obviously, because she works for the county. We were the only two that was covered under any type of insurance.
Like for personal injury and stuff like that?
Right.
I've heard that before, too. firefighters and such don't have any coverage.
And none of their boards.
Well, they aren't acting as a firefighter. I think they would insure. What are they insuring you for? Liability and the bond would go.
Okay.
I'm just trying to figure out how to write a letter of support.
Just get a letter, huh?
If that money would disappear some way, is that part of this?
No, I don't believe so. I don't think it has anything to do with the money.
That would be one of the things.
Fraud would be included.
Included in.
It'd have to be.
Well.
I mean, somebody's got to be responsible.
Right, that's what they're insuring, I think.
I would think, chances of something like that happen would be slim, but they can happen.
Well, yeah, that would be subject to audit, too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And they'll be audited yearly.
And there's got to be a board of people that's taking care of and signing the checks. It's got to be redundant. I can't remember having anything like that when we did the jail.
And we run to the county.
Yeah.
It was a part of the county. So yeah. This is not,
It's like I said, it's a different county.
It's very different.
It is very, very different. It really is. Yeah. Maybe that's the reason why it's taken so long to get
I can, I could see why Nirma would be a little bit standoffish on it then.
Yeah.
They have to take it to their board of directors for approval, so...
Well, let's let them hash it over.
Yeah, we'll just so we got a motion. I think it was by Bill and a second by Rick. Is that correct? Or do you have a letter for Nirma?
Yeah, you got it.
Will you call roll on that, please, John?
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Okay, number four here. We're going to go to Commissioner Committee Reports. I pretty much just told you my report with the Public Safety Agency. If anybody hasn't yet, Rick and Dick, if you guys would like, maybe we've been looking at the other Jones office on the other south wing, and they got the starting on the boardroom. They want to have everything all sheetrocked and tape and textured in the new boardroom before the 10th for the election, so Joan has a place to count ballots and all the above. So you guys, maybe before you guys take off, you can go over and take a peek at it. They had the styrofoam down on the ground showing where the table is going to be at. So, but anyways, yeah, it's looking good. It's looking good. Any commission committee reports? I'm sure I got one, I think, tomorrow night with the LEC.
Yep.
Yep.
As long as it doesn't have to do with picking up the sacks along the highway.
It does. Sorry. Last week, a couple days after the worst of the wind, I was going through South Sioux and I saw a Walmart worker wearing a Walmart safety vest on the east side of the road picking up trash, and I know they don't just pick up Walmart bags. I know the Walmart manager that we have right now is not as high profile as Renee was, but I think he's very committed to being a good community member. And so, and Hy-Vee has always been good. Sometimes when you're in there and you're not in a big hurry, if you'd run down the manager and say thanks, I think it means an awful lot coming from you guys.
At where, Walmart or Hy-Vee?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Yep. I think they're really working at it, and if you think about it, there's a difference. You could say it's not near as bad as it used to be in the bad old days. We're going to have a highway cleanup May 14th. You said we would try and get a hold of the state. I got to share this, and I hope you guys will be irritated. I sure am. It gets personal. Dawn Kimmel is our new Keep Northeast Nebraska Beautiful coordinator, and I'm sure you'll be meeting her soon. This is a neat. We've been trying to get a hold of the state, and she emailed me midweek, the second paragraph. This is the response we got from the state. Please look at the second paragraph. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry.
Yeah, so was it supposed to just blow away on its own?
No, the State Department from South Sioux is supposed to go out and pick it up. So I asked Dawn, would you please give me Denise's last name and phone number? And she did send that to me this morning. So I will be emailing it to all of you. And whenever you don't like the way 129 looks, would you please call Denise and tell her? And I will take one of these up to the State Department and say, do you know Denise? And look what she's volunteered you for.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that you could be trained to pick up trash. It says non-trained people at risk.
Anyway, we will be finding other highway areas near 129 as best we can do by then. And I'm hoping that maybe by a year from now we can come up with a more rational solution. I would think that once a year, maybe we could work with the Highway Patrol, the State Department, and get the flashing signs out there, and for half a day, slow the traffic down to 40 miles an hour and go out and do a cleanup. You wouldn't think once a year that'd be a big problem. But we won't get it done by May 14th. So
we were hauling some towers down into, I think it was Missouri, and we got our picture taken. And we had some of that wrap on the truck. And they have cameras now along the highway to take pictures of you down there. And we need them on Highway 20.
Wouldn't hurt my feelings at all. I like it.
Yeah. Anything blows out of your truck?
So.
Or flag?
Anyway, stay tuned, and I will get you Denise's phone number. Please call her when you don't like the way I-129 looks. Which is pretty much all the time.
So
you can call her every day. Fine.
So I don't know if there's something we have to do, legislation, to get that. I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know. Because they didn't say anything about the bypass when we picked that all up.
No, well, we were asking if we want to know if we could use ATVs. We wasn't expecting this.
I tell you what, it's such a liability. You know, the state, just like this fire hall deal,
yeah,
with liability. And
everybody's too happy.
Well, they are.
Okay. Thank you, Sally. And hopefully that we get some good news and we can have some fun picking up trash. I don't throw that gum wrapper out no more either. I want to just set that up.
Hey, come on out May 14th. We had fun, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. It was
fun.
We're
going to have fun again.
Yeah, with all the other officials and what happened.
And that's just the area that we picked up before.
I'm going to try and get something close to 129. We're going to have to do some scouting and see what trucks we can do.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay, mail emergency business. None yet. We'll go to public comment. Does anybody in the public have a comment? Anyone? If not, we are adjourned, and our next regular meeting is going to be April 25th.